The Business Buzz Podcast.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz. Good evening and welcome to the Business Buzz right here on VFM 88.1. My name is Mudiwa Mob Justice Kabaz and I'll be your host until about 8 p.m. tonight. We are broadcasting live from our studios right here in Braamfontein, Johannesburg. And as I said, we're going to be here until about 8 p.m. Who's to say that the world of business can't be entertained? Definitely make sure you keep it locked as we seek to inform you and educate you about how the world of money, the economy affects you and your pocket. For tonight, as has been the practice for this month, I'm definitely not alone in studio. I'm joined by my co-host, Alonobo. How are you?
I'm good, Mudiwa. How are you?
I'm alive. I'm well. Can you just give our listeners a bit of a rundown about what we're looking at tonight?
Okay, so we're still in the spirit of Women's Month. And we honor women in all professional capacities and across all spheres. The previous week, we dealt with diamonds. And this evening, we're talking products typically found in households, which then become part of the family tradition, passed from generation to generation. I mean, up to 8 hours, no stay in the chain. So does that ring a bell? So yes, today we're talking Procter and Gamble.
Okay, cool. So tonight we are joined in studio by Zibuyele Rala, who is an HR associate manager at PNG, together with Jean. Am I pronouncing that? Both of you, did I? Okay, cool. And I pronounced your name correctly? Yes, and we're going to be talking to Jean Duplessis, who is the Corporate Affairs and Citizenship Leader at PNG, and they will be breaking it down for us about exactly what it is they do at Procter & Gamble, and the hows and the whys around it, and just around some career development and advice for people that may want to get into that particular corporate space. So you can keep in touch with us, let us what you know about the show, if you have any input, if you're interacting with any of their products on a daily basis, let us know. And is it a company that you are looking at particularly joining? On Facebook, we are VAR-FM, that's Voice of Vits, and then you can also find our other Facebook page, that's Vits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAR-FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz, and you can also stream the station live on VAR-FM.co.za. Podcasts of the Business Buzz show are available on vits.journalism.co.za/business. So on the other side of this, we are going to be getting into the business wrap. That's a part of the show. We give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Wrap with Ken Sweatman.
It's time for us to get into the week's top trending business and economics news. And on the line, we are joined by our financial expert, Ken Swettenham. How are you, Ken?
I'm very well this evening. And yourself?
No. We're doing all right. So how has the week been looking in terms of the economy, the markets, and everything around that?
Well, I'd love to give you good news, but the news regarding the economy never seems to be that good, unfortunately. Now, there's no real standout story recently. The government has obviously, I'll just touch on a couple of stories which have surfaced today. The government is obviously looking for more budget cuts in their own spending as the government debt climbs. And, of course, this is going all towards Eskom, a lot of the money as they bail out Eskom time after time. And the money has to come from somewhere. They can't pluck it out of the sky. So other government departments are having to look at cutting spending to keep Eskom afloat. And talking of Eskom, they came out with a statement today that we may be on the brink of load shedding again, which is certainly not good news. Also, and a story which has certainly concerned clients of mine, and I get a lot of questions on it, is what is going to happen to our pension funds? There's rumors that government is eyeing our pension funds for further financing.
Yes.
There's been no real straight answers from the president regarding this, but there are rumors that pension funds may be forced to invest a portion of their assets into government-funded infrastructure or government bonds, and that affects each and every one of us who may be on some sort of retirement fund if government starts dictating where this money must be invested.
So I guess on that particular front, what would it actually mean? And when we say pensions, are we talking like PIC? Is this the government employees pension fund? What are we talking about exactly?
Well, the PIC is the management of the biggest pension fund in the country, which, as you correctly point out, is the government employees pension fund. But millions of people in South Africa are on other pension funds as well, private pension funds that are administered in the financial services industry by various companies. So it affects not only government employees, but each and every one of us. If government starts dictating where these funds must invest their money. The funds from pension investments are already, I won't say dictated to, but through Regulation 28 of the Pension Funds Act, they are already limited in investing in certain asset classes, but they are not forced to invest in government-approved investments or government infrastructure. And the rumor is that it may be that the government will force pension funds, because there are literally billions and billions of rand sitting in these funds for the benefit of people like you and I who are members of these funds. But the government may be considering forcing some of that money into government-approved projects or government bonds.
And was there any particular reaction from the markets, whether it was the JSE or the RAND? We saw that when it comes to some of these policy pronouncements, we saw with the NHI 2 weeks ago that had a big impact on Discovery's share price, for example. Has there been any such reaction in the market because of this news?
Well, the markets had a very poor day today. The JSE All Share Index was down 0.82%. The financial index, which is obviously the one which would be most affected by pension funds, and of course Discovery and other big life insurance companies are part of the financial index, was down 0.86%, so tracking in line with the All Share. So the financial index is down overall around 10% this year, and it's really had a poor, poor run. But right across the board, the industrials are down 0.89%. Even resources, which have had quite a good year, were down just over 0.5% today. And I'm not too sure the reason for the market dropping today, unfortunately. But yeah, we've had a very, very poor run on our market in general over about the last month, with the index going from around 58,000 and it's sitting just above 54 now. So yeah, not a good time for stocks and shares in South Africa.
So that's been it with our financial expert, Ken Swetten. I'm giving us a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And as you heard, the big news at the moment is just the fact that there are a little bit of jitters just around the government pension funds and the like, and what direction that might particularly take. You also heard that markets are generally down at the moment. It hasn't been a terribly exciting week. So that's it in terms of our business wrap for today. On the other side of this, we get into the state of your 100 Rand.
More justice on the Business Buzz.
It is time for us to get into the business wrap. That's the business of the Buffalo Index, sorry. And that's a part of the show where we give you the state of your 100 Rand. And for today's show, we thought that we'd go out into the market because we have people that are from Procter & Gamble here. So we decided that let's go out into the market and see what we can actually find and what your 100 Rand can do for you when it comes to some of their products that we are interacting with on a daily basis here in South Africa. And I think we went and we picked about five or so products, and I just try to make sure that these are products that everyone can identify with and everyone is familiar with. And the first one we went and we found is Vicks VapoRub. You know, Justin, you know, Vicks VapoRub, I think everyone is familiar with that one. A normal one will set you back about half a buffalo. So your 100 Rand can get you about two of those. Another one is Pampers Active Baby Pants. A nice big value pack for those extra large is coming in. It will cost you about two buffaloes at 186 Rand. And then Ariel Auto Washing Powder. Right. And I try to pick, you know, products that are in different categories, just, you know, diversity.
Okay.
And you're coming in, your 100 Rand can get you two of those, because one kg is coming in at around 42 Rand. And then Old Spice body spray, 150 ml, the standard bottle, you can get about three of those for a buffalo. So coming in at around 34 Rand. And then the last one, as a man, I just needed to go and check, because the Gillette Mark III manual razor is coming in at one buffalo at around 92 Rand. So that's it in terms of our Buffalo Index. Just looking at some products that are made by Procter & Gamble, who are our guests for today. We're going to be talking to two ladies about what it's like to work there and what a career means in that particular field. Lonwamba, did you know that Procter & Gamble makes all of these things?
Man, I don't know how to explain it. I felt like, you know how Vicks VapoRub has always been part of the family.
Yeah.
One would swear that it's a South African product and Procter and Gamble. But because of Procter and Gamble, here we are.
Here we are
with Vicks. Mm. I mean, yeah. I sometimes like remember, you know, that advert of Masbui Bokweza. Okay, I watch a lot of TV.
Yeah.
But there was an advert back in the day of Masbui Bokweza. So it's a shepherd, and he wants his goats to come back to him.
Yeah.
And because he had a congested chest and whatever,
yeah,
he couldn't. But because of Vicks, he did.
Mm. So you see, that's been it in terms of our Buffalo Index. It's conjuring up a lot of nostalgia in the studio as we, you know, reminisce about some of our favorite everyday products. So that's what the show is going to be looking like on the other side of this. We get into the main topic.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz.
It is the Business Buzz. It's the second last week of August, which means it's the second last week of Women's Month, and we're taking time. We've been taking time throughout the entire month just to see some of the careers that different women are in the country, especially from the different businesses and the countries. We've spoken to people that are in natural medicine. We've spoken to financial advisors. We've spoken to people in the diamond industry, you know. And today we're talking about Procter & Gamble, and they make a lot of products that you may or may not know you are interacting with on a daily basis, and that's the discussion we're going to be having for today. Let us know what you think of the discussion, or if you have any questions or inputs on Facebook. We have our FM, that's Voice of Vits, and then you can also find our other Facebook page, that's Vits Radio Academy, and then on Twitter, we're at VOFM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. I'm just going to let Lonwabo just introduce our guests for today.
Okay, so tonight we're talking to Jean and Zibu. So, you know, a company has done a splendid job when the consumption of its product is unquestionable because of being passed from generation to generation and incorporated into our lives and trusted. So, ever watched an Always advert? They dance like us. I mean, they talk like us. They are us. So why would one use any other product other than the one that your half sister or your older cousin tells you about? We should also touch on the sense of betrayal after learning that Vicks VapoRub is not a South African product. Like this one, I cannot believe. I really cannot believe. But let's get into it. The company Procter & Gamble, what do you guys really do?
So Procter & Gamble is a consumer goods company. Mm. And that means that, as you guys have introduced it very well, we make products that really are incorporated into people's everyday lives. Mm. So we help you brush your teeth with Oral-B toothbrushes and toothpaste. We help you shave your face or your legs with Gillette and Gillette Venus.
Mm.
And we help you wash your clothes or take care of your baby with Ariel and Pampers. And then we make sure that as a woman or a girl, you can be whoever you want to be through Always and Tampax.
Mm.
And what really the company's purpose is to touch and improve lives and make every day just a little bit better.
Mm.
And in South Africa, what that means from everyday point of view of what we do at work is that we manufacture some of these products locally, or we bring them in into South Africa, and then we market and we sell them in partnership with retailers, yeah. so that you can pick it up off the shelf and take it home, and make sure that this is a product that you trust and a product that you want to use.
So your responsibility is there. I mean, please take us through a day in Jean's, and then you'll start first and then Zibu.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So at Procter & Gamble, I lead our corporate citizenship and corporate affairs. And so what that means is that I'm responsible for the company and our brand's reputation, and also for our corporate social responsibility initiatives and our relationships with major stakeholders.
Yeah.
So a day in my life would typically be that I would start the day preparing for an event. So recently we did an event in partnership with Microsoft, where we focused on diversity and inclusion, and we looked at really what can we do in the business community in South Africa to improve diversity and inclusion across all aspects, including for the LGBTQ community.
Yep.
So we hosted that event. I was emceeing the event, introducing some of the speakers. After that, I might typically then prepare sometimes for internal communication. So we have a monthly business update, and we would make sure that all the information's in there, that we are sharing information that's relevant to our employees, and that they know what the state of the business is, and that they're updated in all our activities. Then I might have a meeting with potentially a government official or with one of our other stakeholders, like an NGO, to make sure that our citizenship and CSR programs are running fine. And then field a couple of emails, work on some campaigns that are coming up. We recently had a really inspiring campaign on Gillette under the hashtag GoGoNiZizwe. So if you haven't checked that out, go and have a look. We were really honoring the women who are raising the next generation of South African men. And then at the end of the day, I might pop into a radio studio like this and speak to the media. So that's a fairly typical day.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. All right. So I am Zibu, and I am the HR Associate Manager in Talent Practice at P&G. So my responsibilities are within talent supply. So what that entails is recruitment, finding the right talent for P&G. And so that's essentially what it is. So it's about going out on campus, finding the right talent, simply because P&G has this philosophy called promote from within, right? Okay. So we're an organization that really focuses on getting young talent in the organization, because once the young talent is in, they are the potential leaders, you know, of the company. So my main responsibility on a typical day is liaising with different universities, communicating with them, finding out, okay, so how can we best as P&G position ourselves to the students so that they can find out more about us? So essentially, which will lead to us attending career fairs and showcases, doing presentations at lecture halls, so that we can tell students about the opportunities that we have at P&G. So I look after talent supply, so also typically meetings with campus team leaders, because at P&G we have different campus teams that look after various universities, right? So we also make sure that as an organization we don't just focus talent just as an HR function. So we make it an entire organization's drive to be able to find and recruit talent. So when we go on campus, you won't just typically find HR on board. You'll find different people from different departments. So you'll find someone from finance, you'll find someone from sales, you'll find someone from brand, simply because we want that full interaction and a full drive to get everyone in the organization to be able to play a part in recruiting the best talent.
I guess for this one, I'll start with you, Zibu, because, and it's nice that you're in HR, because it would be nice to sort of get a story of how you ended up in your career and at P&G, and also what do you tell people, you know, when you are at career fairs and the like about working at P&G.
Yeah. Okay, so you first want to understand typically how I ended up at P&G. Okay, so let me back it up. I'm actually a VITSy as well.
Okay.
I studied at VITS. I did my undergrad in industrial psychology and media studies, and I did my honors in media studies. So this is essentially my hood, right?
Yeah.
And I'm glad to be back. So I studied, okay, so that is what I studied, and then I started in a graduate program in a different company, a few years ago, and so I was within the talent management space. So luckily enough, I ended up in a field which is what related to my undergrad instead of my honors, because I was then in HR in talent management.
Yeah.
So after that, then I started a career at P&G, still within the talent practice space, simply because I'm really passionate about the field.
Yeah.
So what essentially then I would tell the students on campus, yeah, which is really true, is that, you know, working at P&G, what really amazed me is that we're not an organization that typically focuses on what you study, yeah, right? So we don't say, okay, in order for you to be able to get into a P&G, come exactly with this degree. So say, for example, there's a role in marketing, come exactly with your marketing degree. We do not do that. We're one of the very few companies that essentially do not focus on that, because we believe if you're coming out of university with your bachelor's degree, you have the cognitive ability to be able to learn on the job, right? I mean, because once you're in the space, you can learn and you can grow. Typically, a typical example, I'm in HR and my manager, also in HR, obviously studied engineering. So he's an engineer by profession.
Okay.
And his manager, based in Dubai, studied IT. So that just gives you a picture of how we're not an organization that limits people. And also the great thing is that once you're in the organization as well, and if you're performing really well and you show interest in another department, you can put that up on your profile and you could be, you know, potentially joining a different field, totally different to what it is that you are currently in. So that is typically what we are offering at P&G. And so that's why I'm very excited to be in an organization such as this.
Mm.
Mm. Looks like he's about to jump ship.
Perhaps a little bit. Because it's tempting.
Right.
It's very tempting. Oh, no, and it sounds like the best place to work, doesn't it?
It is. Mm.
Jean?
So you want to know what I tell students and
before that, how did you get here?
So I have a bit of a roundabout story.
Yeah.
And I when I was at university, I didn't go to VITS, sad. But when I was at university, I was part of a student organization. That's an international student organization. I ended up running the South Africa chapter in the South African office.
Hmm.
And then after that, I was recruited into the global leadership team in the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So I spent a year there really working in a very much a stakeholder management, relationship management capacity, worked with our alumni network. And then after that, I went and worked in Malaysia as a travel writer.
Okay.
Again, part of this organization that organized international internships, and that was the internship that I ended up with. So I had an amazing experience there. And then I joined a business school in the US where I managed a global forum on design thinking and sustainability. And that's after that I decided to come home and join P&G. Now, that was really driven by the fact, and I'll say that again, you know, when you're part of a big corporate, I think big companies have an amazing potential to be a force for good in the world.
Yeah.
When your products touch 5 billion lives every day, there's an enormous potential for you to turn that into something positive.
Yeah.
And so that's why I joined the company, and I joined in the corporate citizenship or corporate social responsibility or CSI space, depending on which terminology you use. And I started working on those programs for the company.
Mm.
So that's how I ended up with P&G. And I think that's still firmly a belief that drives me in my work, is that within a company, you really have the potential to have enormous positive impact in the world if you use that scale and that power and innovation for good.
The question, one of the things that, and especially given the fact that you worked in multiple countries and you've given an example of where you have team members that are in Dubai and other countries, what's it like working in a multinational? Because I can only imagine that the scale and the scope must be crazy.
In a lot of ways it is, and a lot of ways it isn't as well. So We do work with team members from all around the world, and we have different people from different cultures who are in our office as well, because we do get people from other countries who come and work in PNG in South Africa, and at the same time we have South Africans who go and work in PNG in different other countries, sometimes in our regional headquarters or sometimes in another country office. So you are exposed to so many different cultures and ways of thinking and doing things, and you know, people from different backgrounds just telling you stories about how different their lives are and how different their cultures are. And I really love that. You also spend a lot of time on video calls and using technology to connect around the world.
Yeah.
But then the lovely thing about PNG, and which what also attracted me to the organization, is that there is this multicultural environment with people from so many different backgrounds. But the office in South Africa is small enough that you can really know your colleagues. And that when you see someone's face in the lift, you know this person works in your company at the very least. And 9 times out of 10, you actually know their name, unless they're brand new. So you can actually have that really close-knit family feeling and at the same time be exposed to an organization with enormous scale and an enormous multicultural variety.
Zibu, in answering the same question, I'd be interested to maybe understand how you guys tackle, because it is Women's Month, and one of the things we really want to understand is what are the dynamics of being a woman at PNG, especially in such a multicultural environment, because the way that some societies tackle gender is different, you know. Yeah. So as a company, how do you guys sort of grapple with that?
Okay, so as a company, we're very deliberate right now in terms of ensuring, you know, more women representation, right? So we also have this campaign called the F Word campaign. So it's essentially a platform whereby at PNG, we want to make women feel comfortable, right? Yeah. And confident that they should not have boundaries in terms of stepping up into leadership roles and be taken seriously. So last week, actually, Jean and I and the rest of the team had the honor of going to the UCT Global Business School Women in Business Conference, right? So even at that conference, we had... So let me just back up. So we sponsored the event. We were one of the key sponsors of the event, simply because this is something that we really believe in. So also at the event, we had two of our leaders in the organization to, you know, give a presentation as well, right? So I'm seeing leaders because they are, you know, senior in the organization. So they did a presentation which talked to the myths in the working world, right? Myths and realities. So this then gave an insight in terms of what it is that people think about women in the working space and what are some of the ways that we can tackle that. So we as an organization, like I said, we're very deliberate in terms of, you know, ensuring that women are recognized and that women are not just, you know, in the back line. So even tomorrow we have, you know, this woman, the F word campaign. So we're just having a meeting with just the females in the organization to talk about these issues and to talk about how it is that we can go forward, you know, in rectifying such.
And if I might add to that, you know, gender equality is something that PNG has taken on as one of our core priorities on corporate citizenship. And so, as Zibu was describing, inside the company, we have deliberate strategies to ensure 50-50 representation of women at all levels. Are we there today? Not yet. But we are making enormous progress on it. We, at our recruitment level, we make sure that we recruit 50-50 men and women. And then we make sure that we create awareness, both with men and women in the organization, of what are the unconscious biases that you carry. What are some of these myths, as Ibu mentioned, that exist in the workplace around women? And how can you really help as a man and as a woman to come together to build a world that's gender equal? Because a gender equal world is not a world where women have more than their fair share. A gender equal world is a world where both men and women have an equal voice and equal representation. Beyond that, we also use our voice as an advertiser and as a company to call out bias when we see it and to address it and spark conversation. So campaigns like our Always Like a Girl campaign really address the harmful words that can hold girls back. And that is one of the examples of how we use our voice in advertising. And then we also, from a gender equality point of view, we also look at what are gender-based barriers to education for girls and what are gender-based barriers to economic opportunity for women. So for girls, we have our Always Keeping Girls in School program that provides puberty education and sanitary pads to girls in schools to make sure that, one, they get away from all these stigmas and myths around menstruation and that they can feel confident about what's changing in their bodies, what's happening to them. And two, for a lot of girls, they truly can't afford sanitary pads. And for them, we donate and we make sure that we stick with the same schools and we go back to those schools year after year so that we have a consistent impact and that we know that she knows that she can go to school every month. And then we work with women-owned businesses to integrate them into our supply chain, develop their skills. And this is addressing these barriers to women accessing economic opportunities.
So, Jean, how has the industry and the company changed over the last 5 years? What trends are currently taking place?
So we are one of the biggest advertisers, P&G is, in the world, really. And I think the biggest changes that have happened in our space is digital, digital, digital. You know, trends in digital marketing have changed it from a place where we are just doing mass reach to doing mass reach with targeted precision.
Yeah.
And P&G has really led the way in the advertising space on a lot of the innovations in digital advertising, specifically looking at how effective is advertising. When a platform claims that they're reaching X amount of people, is that truly happening? How do we measure it? How do we know what you as an individual are experiencing when you see our ads and you see our advertising? Digital has also brought with it changes in the kind of marketing that we put out there. People have different media habits now. Who of you guys own a TV at home with a full subscription to a satellite service provider?
That's tough.
It's tough, right? So there are different changes in media consumption and media habits. And because of that, we also have to change what content we put out there so that it is content that people want to engage with and that they care about. So this is one of the biggest trends. Another trend that I see that's happening, and this is specifically in my space, is that the world of sustainability and social impact that businesses are doing is shifting. There was a huge announcement by the Business Roundtable in the US just this week, where they officially put it out there that it's no longer just shareholders that we're looking after. It is also other stakeholders in the community. And this is revolutionary for an American business or for the American business community. And P&G is also part of the Business Roundtable. It's really the foremost CEOs in the world. And so those shifts are happening. And that's really encouraging for anyone who wants to make a career where they are having a positive impact. But that is increasingly possible in the corporate space as well.
I think we're just going to take a quick break, and then on the other side of this, we're going to continue our discussion. We are with Jean and Zibu in studio. They're both from Procter & Gamble, and just telling us what the career is like there and what type of campaigns they have around being deliberate about having 50-50 representation in their company. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
The Business Buzz.
Welcome back. This is The Business Buzz. We are continuing with our Women's Month theme. We are with Zibu together with Jean, both from Procter & Gamble, letting us know what a career is like there. And I just wanted to get some thoughts from Zibu right now, just around leading leading such a diverse group of people. We spoke about it earlier on, but more than anything else, I wanted you to perhaps talk to us about why being in a corporate structure is so advantageous, because a person can have a career in a university, you can start your own business, for example. You could be self-employed, you could be unemployed, you could, you know, there's so many things. But as a corporate, how do you, what's the advantage there?
Okay, so for me, okay, also working in a multinational company, and being with different people from different backgrounds, also it essentially also boils down to stability, right? For me, right? Simply because we are living in a, you know, in a world or in a country whereby unemployment rates are ridiculous, right?
Yeah.
Especially for the youth. So being in a corporate environment also gives you that sense of, you know, stability. It gives you that sense of, you know, being in a space where, especially if the organization is deliberate about your development and your growth, right? Not taking out, you know, entrepreneurial routes, because also being in a corporate space that doesn't just tie you down, it also does allow you to be entrepreneurial, you know, also coming with ideas, or also just having your own little side thing on, you know, that you can do on the side as well. So I think what's really great about working in such an environment for me is that we are very inclusive, right? So we really hound on diversity and inclusion in the organization. So being around people who have different backgrounds, we always make sure that people do not feel left out, or people do not feel that their culture or their background is being looked down upon. So, for example, at PNG, we also have different facilities. So, in prayer rooms, if people that are in the organization need to step out and go pray, you know, they have that facility available to them. So, for me, really, I enjoy being in the corporate space, especially being in an organization that, you know, really focuses on leading from within. So PNG creates its leaders. So what you generally find is that people who are in top positions in the organization are people who started as interns, or people that started very early in their careers. And once they get in, then they have that opportunity to grow. Right. We're also very deliberate when it comes to learning and development. People in the organization have to attend trainings and be trained outside of their scope of work, because in order to be successful in the environment, you need various different skills in order to be successful. So, you know, being in an organization that actually does, you know, take care of that is what really matters to me the most. So that is why I actually appreciate and, you know, look forward to working in a corporate environment such as this.
And is it cutthroat? I think, you know, there's this, I don't know whether I can call it an impression, a perception, a stigma, that corporate spaces tend to be a bit cutthroat, either cutthroat or just no nonsense sort of. So is that true? I don't know either of the general corporate space, or at least the corporate environment you guys have created at PNG.
I mean, I would not describe. Cutthroat is not a word that I would describe use to describe PNG.
Yeah.
Definitely, and this is me being completely honest. The people who are in PNG are quite competitive. They really like to win. But because we all share the same goals, we like to win together. And the other foundation that really is at the company is our purpose, values, and principles. So respect for an individual is really something that is standout in the culture in PNG for me. I have never felt disrespected by my colleagues or felt like I was, like it was cutthroat and we were competing against each other. It does feel like quite a welcoming environment where we have a sense of being a team. A lot of people in the company, most people in the company, in fact, work in multifunctional teams. So you collaborating as a marketer with someone who is in supply chain as well as someone who's in sales and working together to reach goals. And so there are high expectations and it's a structure and a system that rewards good performance. But at the same time, we don't just throw people out there and hope for the best. We actually have very deliberate systems in place for learning, development, coaching, making sure that we set you up for success. And, you know, the diversity and inclusion aspect that Zebu referred to, it's really important for us, because if we don't look inside the company, like the world outside, how can we sell products to them? How can we understand what people want and what they need? We have to look like that world. But if we don't allow everybody to bring their full selves and their full talents to work, then that diversity is just a scorecard and it doesn't really make a difference. Diversity is critical, but inclusion is a game changer. And I think we are constantly looking at how can we improve that in the company and make sure that you can bring your full, amazing, authentic self to work and unleash those talents in the workplace.
Yeah, and just to add on to what Jean was saying with regards to the people in the organization and how we value trust. So at PNG, what we really focus on is the people. Right. Okay. So it's also part of our values. So if the people are happy in an organization, then they tend to perform well. So the company really is focused on ensuring that the people perform at their peak. And in order to be able to do that, the people in the organization, they need to feel valued. They need to feel like you trust them. They need to feel like we are all working as a company to win together. Right. So also what we have is this day one campaign. So if you actually just check on our careers page, you will find that everything we talk to is day one. So what that also essentially means is that at PNG, you get meaningful work and experience from day one. So you know, taking out this misconception that if you come in the organization as an intern, for example, that you'll be making people coffee, that you'll be just printing paper all day. We really don't do that. From day one at PNG, you have a manager who has set goals for you. This is you set your deliverables, telling you that this is what you're going to do, and you get to work from day one. So with what Jean has also brought up in terms of trust and culture, we don't, like, nobody looks down on anyone. So I've also never felt disrespected by a colleague ever, you know, at PNG, because in whatever level that you are, you're treated with the same respect. You know, our vice president sits in the same floor, in the same cubicles that look like everybody else, for example. There's no office structure. You know, nobody will sit in the office and lock themselves up. It's a very open door policy. If you have a question and you want to ask a leader, they're sitting right there. You can go and ask them a question. So there's no hierarchical systems. There's nothing like that. It's a very open policy. So that is why then everyone feels respected, because nobody knows what level, or, you know, people essentially know they respect that. However, it's not a barrier and it's not a trust factor, or it's not a, you know, respect factor, you know, per se.
Don't have you ever been in leadership before? Because I feel like you're an HR manager, you manage people. I feel like that's a lot of work. People are a lot of work. But then you do say that at PNG it's a very respectful environment. So what approach, what strategies, you mentioned day one and making people feel valued and stuff, but what approaches and the strategies do you have you put in place as an HR manager?
Okay, so you mean in terms of getting the talent and structures that are put in place for the people?
Okay.
But me?
Okay, so that kind of question would go very well to the HR director. But, okay, so what I can talk to is that, so our strategy in HR, starting from talent practice, right, starting all the way from recruitment, going out on campus, finding the talent, or essentially, you know, having our careers up on our website, essentially finding the right talent, you know, all the way through to interviews. And once the person is inside the organization, we have trainings, you know, that they do within that, let's say, first month or two within the organization. And so there are periods in the organization whereby you get trained, right? So you aren't just thrown into this box and expected to just find your feet. There's guidelines, there's approaches, you know. You get given a manager who is, you know, responsible in terms of, you know, drawing up your career path and your career plan, obviously in discussion with yourself. So there's you know, various approaches within PNG whereby So, okay, once you're in the organization, you get onboarded, you know, so it's you know, it's a full-on structure all the way to learning and development.
Yeah, I think in a lot of other companies, you know, as a manager, yeah, you're responsible for the results of your team, right? That's standard. Mm-hmm. In P&G, you are, as a manager, also responsible for the development and the growth mm-hmm. of your team. Your team being happy and your team feeling like they have a long-term career prospect and that they feel they're getting the skills that they need, that they feel supported, is part of your scorecard as a manager. So that is one of the key things that really helps the leadership of the organization to grow the next generation of talent from within.
Do you guys feel like you're at the peak of your careers, or there's some work to be done? Because it's P&G, come on.
So peak, essentially, do you mean that, okay, so I've reached this level, this is it? Is that what you mean?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
Guys, no, it's P&G.
I think it is, you know, I think we also need to define differently what success means. Right. And success is not a level. Success is not a specific place that you work. Success is about, are you able to contribute your talents and your strengths to the work that you do, and the way that you find rewarding, and the way that you feel you are leaving the world better than when you came. And I don't think that is a plateau that you can achieve and then, you know, mm-hmm. pack your handbag and be done. I think it is a constant striving, and as you learn and as you grow, your personal goalposts shift mm-hmm. and what you personally strive for shifts as well. Mm-hmm. And your contribution then shifts with that.
Definitely. And also, you know, times change, so being at a peak is not enough. You know, I've also heard someone at P&G who once said that what did they say? So they said that excellence is not good enough, right? So you need to go above and beyond that, right? So meaning, not essentially saying that everything is cutthroat, but once you've reached that level of, okay, you know what, I'm excellent at what I do, what next? You know, because times change, things change, you know? So in order to be able to develop, you know, you need to adapt to what it is that's coming next. You know, learn, you know, things that actually do come up in your industry, and also just not in the industry, but, you know, as the company as a whole. So I don't think I'll ever reach my peak, because, you know, I want to have a bigger impact. I want the organization to have a bigger impact as well. So that's just for me, like, you know, there's a lot of work to be done still.
Do you think there's anything that you could have done differently? When you look back.
I like that one.
So for me, I would say that to truly immerse myself in the present experience, instead of having so much anxiety about what is supposed to come next, mm-hmm. and so to truly be present in the places that we are, and to get to know yourself better, right? So some of us will, you know, be in a situation and be constantly looking back and trying to interpret it from the past. Some of us will be in a situation and be constantly thinking about the future. It depends on who you are. So the more you know yourself, the more you know what your tendencies are, and the more you can adjust to it. So I think if I had to tell myself and go back in time and knock on my own self's door and probably frighten the daylight out of her, I would say that. I would say be more present and be more grateful for the experiences that you have, and stay with them and get the learning from them. Mm.
And for me, when I look back, you know, with the worry, so first step, you know, being in university, right? Okay, you get worried from first year, you know, all the way until you finish. It's just constant worry. Yeah. And once you finish, it's, oh my word, what's next, you know? Because the job industry is not looking so great, you know? Am I even going to get a job? Once you're in the job, am I even going to do well? So what I tell myself is, don't worry too much, you know? Everything happens for a reason. Just put in the work and you will be rewarded.
Hmm. put in the work and you'll be rewarded together with Be present in the moment. Thank you so much to the ladies for coming to the studio. We're in studio with Zibuyele Rala, who is an HR associate manager at PNG, together with Jean Duplessis, who is the corporate affairs and citizenship leader at PNG. Thank you so much, ladies, for coming and just giving us pearls of wisdom about what it is like to work at PNG, what the company does, the strategies that you guys have, together with some reflections, especially that last part about being present and also just saying don't worry. I think that's some powerful stuff. So you can let us know what you thought on Facebook. We are VAW FM, that's Voice of Wits. You can also find our other Facebook page, that's the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAW FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And then you can also find our streaming link on our website, that's vowfm.co.za. And remember that you can also find podcasts of the Business Buzz Show on vits.journalism.co.za. Before we head out, how can people access either the careers or any graduate opportunities that PNG has?
Okay, so on our website, www.pgcareers.com, you can find all our requisitions there.
Yeah.
However, what is really exciting now, especially for students, is that we have internship opportunities available at PNG in various departments. So like I said earlier, the nice thing about PNG is that we do not discriminate based on what you studied.
Yes.
So you could be studying, engineering, and apply for a marketing role.
Yeah.
It really does not matter to us. As long as you're studying towards a bachelor's degree, towards the completion of your degree, you qualify to apply.
Yeah.
So when you go on a careers website, you will see the requisitions listed there. Pick one that suits you. You apply. And once you apply, you'll get a link to do online assessments. If you do your online assessments and you do well, then you get an opportunity to be interviewed at PNG. And then we take it from there. So...
Yep, definitely. And tips for students. I am allowed to give you tips. I'm not allowed to give you referrals, but I'm allowed to give you some tips. So the first thing is with the online test, it is something that you should practice for. There is a practice test on our website that you can download and practice at home and understand how it works and what the questions are.
Yeah.
Practice for it. It's really recommended.
Yeah.
And then secondly, during your university time, in the projects that you're involved in your extramural activities, in your family life, in your sporting life, there are experiences that you gather, and we want to know about those experiences.
Mm.
So when you come for an interview, think about your stories and think about the things that you have done that reflect how you would typically behave in a situation. Because once we get to the interview stage, we want to know about you and how you would typically behave in a situation. So those are my two little sneaky tips.
Yeah.
But if you want to see what internship opportunities are available, it's during the vacation period.
Yeah.
It's flexible based on your availability during vacation period. So don't worry about, oh, I have to study, I can't come do an internship. You can come. But go check them out at pgcareers.com.
Okay, cool. So you heard it right there, the two tips coming in. Jean is telling people that you need to, those stories, those experiences, they're very important. Mm-hmm. And also that test, it's something that you need to practice for. It's highly recommended that you that you practice for the test. So that's been it. Thank you so much. Thank you to our amazing team, our technical producer, that is Kotlano Serame, together with our executive producer, Simba Honde, and Glory Mabuza. Thank you so much to my co-host, Lonobo Sichebi. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
And, hopefully, we'll be hanging out again next week, right?
Not really. You're with Slee next week.
But anyway, don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week. Next week will be our last show in Women's Month, so definitely make sure you tune in for that. Next up on the VAW FM lineup, we have Living Electro. So for myself, Mudiwa Mob, Justice Gawaza, and the rest of the team, it's good evening and take care.
You're tuned in to the Business Buzz. Business Buzz. The Business Buzz Podcast.